So we are looking again at Exodus chapter 20, and we have gone through the first part of the Ten Commandments, first three commands. And now this morning we're going to look at the fourth command. I know you just sat. Will you stand again as we honor God in the reading of His Word? And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Lord, we pray this morning that we would be able to approach that thick darkness where you are. We pray this morning, Lord, that we would be clean in your sight because of the blood of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that if there's any here that don't know that cleansing power, that this morning they would surrender to you completely, openly, without reservation, repenting of their sin and gaining eternal life. And we pray this in that power that is above all others. In Christ, amen. Will you please be seated? So, we have looked through these commandments, and we will continue. And to remind you, the Ten Commandments are basically two sets of commands. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God, how He expects His people to worship Him, what He expects of our relationship with Him, that we will have no other gods before Him, that we will not make images or idols to try to worship Him better, but they would just lead us away from truly worshiping Him. And that we would not misuse His name, but find Him to be holy in all His ways and treat Him as such. Then, along with this, He says, I have set apart a day that is to be holy, the Sabbath. And so those first four have to do with this relationship that we have with our Creator, with our God, with our Father, with our Savior and Lord. And then the last six have to do with our relationship with one another. If we are following the Lord, how will we relate to each other? What will be important? And we'll get to those over the next few weeks. This morning, we're going to look at the Sabbath day. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now, there's many schools of thought about the Ten Commandments and how it relates to believers in Christ. These Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites, a nation set apart for God, who were given God's law to show the world who they were, and also to show them the need for the Savior, the need for the whole world to have the Savior. But how does that relate to believers in Christ? We've come to know Christ. If you have, then you know that Christ has set us free from the law. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. This law, these rules and commandments, haven't we been set free from them? And so there's a freedom that we have in Christ, and should we disregard the Ten Commandments, or is there something deeper at work in the life of a believer? Now, I'll just tell you, there's a lot of schools of thought in here. There's some churches that believe that you need to preach the Ten Commandments as laws that we have to be under. Because if you don't, people will just go wild. In fact, if you read the book of Romans, it seems like the entire first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is addressing this very thing. The freedom we have in Christ, yet not freedom to sin. Not free completely from restraint, but free from the guilt and shame and condemnation that comes with the law. And I find that the Sabbath day is the hardest part to understand out of all of the Ten Commandments. Is this to be followed the way it was followed by the Israelites? Is this to be prescribed the way it was given to them? Now, what things did God say about the Sabbath? We said it must be kept holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Holy, as we've talked over the last few weeks, is to be set apart, to be wholly other. God is set apart. God is holy. In fact, God is the only being that is holy. But we're to treat the Sabbath, he says, as holy. He says it's to be kept on the seventh day. 6 days did God labor, but on the seventh he rested, and so should it be that we have 6 days of labor. By the way, God actually encourages labor. So those who think that they can just go through life without labor, well, that's not the God that we know from the Scriptures. He said, 6 days will you labor, but on the seventh day rest. This Sabbath is to be a day of rest, a day to contemplate the works of God. Now notice something. God doesn't get tired. Have you ever thought about this? In Genesis, God created for the first 6 days. And then it says, he rested. Why? Was he worn out? Was it that it overexerted him? And he had to take time off? No, that's not the rest that he's talking about. He rested from the acts of creation and then has been at work, Jesus said, ever since that day in the world, but has been enjoying the work of his hands. What does rest mean when he gives it to his people? Enjoy his work. Stop from your labor and toil and take time on this day to enjoy the work of God and rest in Him. We only think of vacation. That's not what He's talking about. It's to be a day of assembly. I'll show you that in just a minute, and it's to be a sign. Let me show you what I mean by that. He says here, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, he says. This is to be holy, to be set apart for Him, to be set apart like Him, he says. The Sabbath, being holy, is something so important to God that when the Israelites were found to be breaking the Sabbath, you know, we have this idea of sin and punishment and things like that that is so out of whack with the Scriptures. I mean, what I'm about to read to you may shock some of you if you've never thought of God's holiness in this way. What I'm about to read to you is going to sound so over the top, you're not going to be even able to just take it in. Because to us, well, somebody broke a rule or something, let's give them another chance, let's give them another chance, let's give them another chance. So what if they blaspheme this holy God? Let's give them another chance. And God doesn't do that in this passage. There was a man out gathering sticks on the Sabbath to make a fire. And we see in Numbers chapter 15, it says, when the Israelites were in the desert, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. And so they didn't know what to do with him. And so they brought him to Moses. And they said, Moses, he was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. What do? He's breaking the Sabbath. Not supposed to work, not supposed to do his daily labor on the Sabbath. What are we to do? And so Moses said, let's go to the Lord. And so they go to the Lord, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, this man must die. Think about this. He was just picking up sticks. Picking up wood. He was going to make a fire. The Lord said, this man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. Not stand before a tribunal and they put him to death. But the entire assembly, all the people, have to get together and be part of this. Why? Because this is how much God wanted them to treat Him holy. And the day He gave them to set apart for His holiness, He was serious about. So the assembly took Him outside the camp and stoned Him to death as the Lord commanded Moses. Harsh. And we act like God's holiness is just no big deal. He doesn't act like His holiness is no big deal. Now, the Sabbath was given to be kept holy. It was given on the seventh day. He says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The seventh day is a Sabbath. After 6 days of work, the seventh day would be the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of rest. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, a day of rest to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. And he goes on to say, neither you nor your manservant or maidservant, not even your animals. Nobody's going to be working on the Sabbath day. Now, the word Sabbath, Shabbat, in the Hebrew, actually means to cease, desist, and rest. So the word itself means to rest. You have been given basically a rest day to rest, is how it would sound. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Sabbath is a day that you're supposed to come together as an assembly, a congregation, to praise the Lord, to worship God together. There are 6 days when you may work, he says in Leviticus, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. And then it was given as a sign. A sign that this was his people and they were set apart from all the nations. He says, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This is Exodus chapter 31. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. There are a few signs that God gave so that all the world would know his people. The first one he gave through Israel, circumcision. Actually, I'm sorry, through Abraham, the sign of circumcision. He gives the Sabbath as a sign as well. These are things that the nations will know that you are separate, treating this day as holy. Now, again, how does that apply to us? Does it apply directly to Christians? Are we under the same law? Because there's passages that make it sound like, no, we're released from this. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. I can't get my righteousness by following the letter of the law, so Christ is my righteousness. And so do I just say, forget the Sabbath then. I don't need to follow it, because Christ has set me free from that. Well, I want to give to you, and I'm sorry if this sounds like a lecture. I don't know how otherwise to give you this. I don't want it to be a lecture. I want you to go through this the way I went through this. This is the first time I've preached on the Ten Commandments in the 14 years I've been pastor here. I was preaching for a couple years before that. Not as a pastor, not every week. But in 14 years plus time, this is the first time I've touched the Ten Commandments, because how do you preach this? How do you preach this and not put people in bondage, or turn around and tell them, don't worry about the Ten Commandments and do whatever you feel like? And the truth is, you can't. If God doesn't speak to you this morning, if he's not the one directing your thoughts, then there's no point, because you have to be convicted by him over things like this. Now, I want to share with you the arguments that people have used about the Sabbath, both saying that Christians are bound to Sabbath keeping, just like the Israelites, and then saying, no, they're not. So first of all, why would we be bound to the Sabbath? Well, some of the arguments, and they're compelling, and this, let me tell you, this week, it depended on what day you saw me, to what I would tell you about keeping the Sabbath. There were days that I was crying my eyes out, and there were other days I was just saying, praise God, I've been set free. And I'm in the praise God, I've been set free mood today. It caught me on a good day. Sabbath keeping, why should we keep it? Because it's not just given to Moses and the people when the law was given. It was actually given in creation. And so people say, if God gave something in creation, then it is supposed to be a perpetual thing, command for all time. It's not just for God's people, it's for all of mankind. Not only that, but Jesus came and said he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. So how could a Christian say, oh, I don't have to do the law, if Jesus didn't say that? And you go through, you'll see the Ten Commandments are reinforced all throughout the New Testament. It wasn't just that the Ten Commandments were given in the Old Testament time. They were given after Christ as well to the church. First of all, given in creation. By the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, the second chapter of all of Scripture. about the creation of all things. In Genesis 2, it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. How could we turn away from the Sabbath if God gave it and blessed it at creation? Said, it is holy, it is set apart. God did that, not people. Not only that, but many who believe in following the Sabbath to the letter of the law will say, this is something that was given during creation, and Jesus never said he wanted to abolish it. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, he says in Matthew chapter 5. And by the way, Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. This is in the center of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And he says, I tell you the truth, no jot nor tittle will be destroyed in the law. I don't remember the exact quote, but will be fulfilled. Now, the Ten Commandments are seen in the New Testament through the writings of the Apostle Paul, through Peter, through James, through all these different apostles of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wrote to us and let us know that these commandments are being reinforced. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5, he talked about, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you the truth, that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Jesus actually took the Ten Commandments and made them even more binding to us by letting us know that it's not about following the letter of the law, it's about our hearts. He even went on to say that if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, you're bound to hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I listen to that and I sit in condemnation and shame and guilt. I can't even breathe anymore. I thought I was following the Lord, but I'm breaking His Sabbath. I went to Walgreens this morning, you guys. Breaking the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists sometimes scare me with their arguments. But here is some things to take in consideration. First of all, when Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, he said he came to fulfill it. And we find our fulfillment in him. We're not bound to keep the law because he is our law. He is the one, the only one that could actually live the law out sinlessly. So we have to put all our trust in him. Not only that, but even though all of the commands are reinforced in the New Testament, there's one that's not. This was shocking to me this week. I went through and looked at all the Ten Commandments and found passages in the New Testament, and there's not one passage in the New Testament that tells the people of God through Christ Jesus that they have to keep the Sabbath. I find that to be shocking. 9 out of 10 is reinforced over and over, but there's one that's not. Not only that, but the church, the early church, didn't worship on the Sabbath. At the beginning, they met on the Sabbath in the synagogue because they were still part of the Jewish community, but they always met the next day with strictly believers. Not the seventh day of the week, but the first day of the week. On Sunday, they moved the day of worship to Sunday. And there's some people that are still screaming about that. And finally, we don't live by commands when we know Christ. We don't live by have-tos. We don't have checklists that we have to get it all right. We live by want-tos. I want to keep the Sabbath. I want to honor God, not because I have to, because I want to. Jesus is our fulfillment. That passage in Romans doesn't simply say that Christ is the end of the law, so we don't have anything to do with it anymore. It doesn't say that Christ is the end of the law, so we still have to be under it. It says Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. If I believe in Christ, if I put my hope and trust in Him alone, I realize that I cannot keep the law on my own, so I have to trust Him. He's the one that kept the law, and He died for my sin. He washes me clean when I come to Him and repent and say, Lord Jesus, I trust in Your holiness. I trust in Your righteousness. You are righteous. So, He has come to fulfill and be my fulfillment, be our fulfillment. Now, how does this play out? Think about the different things that were given to the people of God to set them apart from the nations, the different things that they were told to do. Circumcision, given to Abraham so that all... I've often wondered how the nations would know that Abraham and his people were set apart if circumcision was a sign, but all right. They wore pants back then. In the Old Testament times, circumcision was a sign of the people of God. But in the New Testament times, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 that circumcision of the flesh doesn't count. It's circumcision of the heart. Now, what happened? Christ fulfilled the law. And so the people of God now, their hearts have been circumcised, changed, cut by God to where they bleed for Him because He bled for them. No longer do they wear an outward sign to show that they know Him. No, now it's an inward sign of their heart. God took what He had given to His people at the time of Abraham and changed it for the time of Christ. Sacrificial worship. Even before the law of Moses was given, we see the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we see all their sons setting up and worshiping God through the sacrifice of animals. And then through Moses, God gave the full law and gave all the different reasons why you had to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice a dove here. You have to sacrifice a bull here. You have to do this and that and the other. All the different sacrifices. But Christ is our sacrificial lamb. And because of His blood, we no longer sacrifice animals. He is our sacrifice. And the Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, that we can give a spiritual sacrifice to God. Give your bodies over to Him. It's your spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. To be holy and pleasing before Him. Passover. God said, I am taking you out of Egypt, and you will always remember this. You will always commemorate this. You will have a special time to worship me together. You will not use any leaven in your bread. You will, all these different things they had to do. And what happened? Why don't we? Listen, let me tell you, I grew up Jewish, and after I got saved, I turned to Kristen and said, why don't we do the Passover? The Passover is such a blast. It's such a great, why don't we do it? And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why Christians don't do the Passover. Keep the Passover. It's incredible. It's filled with such symbolism. And it shows the reason why Christ came. Why don't we do it? I'll tell you why we don't do it. Why we don't have to observe it, but could if we felt like it. We don't have to observe the Passover because during the Passover meal, the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and He took the wine and He said, this bread is my body broken for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He took the last cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant. My blood given for you. As often as you take it, do it in remembrance of me. And He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. He took the Passover and changed it. Now, let me tell you, if Jesus could take these symbols and change them to have a new meaning to them, Shouldn't the Sabbath be part of that? We don't find the Sabbath anywhere in the New Testament told that we have to follow it. We find worshiping God alone. Remember when Satan came to Jesus out in the wilderness? He said, "Worship me." And he said, "No, you will worship God alone. Man does not live by bread alone," he says later, "but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father." In all this, he's saying, no, we will do what we're told in the commandments to do. No idolatry. There's so many passages that tell us to stay away from idols. No blasphemy. But Sabbath keeping? I challenge you to find me a passage that tells us that we have to keep the Sabbath. Honoring parents? Yes. Do not murder? Yes. In fact, I told you, it's even more intense. Not only don't murder, but any anger that you harbor against your brother is considered murderous. And the guilt of the command is on you. No adultery. Jesus says not only is adultery a physical act, but if you have lustful thoughts for someone, that is adultery as well, and you have broken the commands. No stealing. It's interesting. In Ephesians, it tells us not only not to steal. In fact, the Apostle Paul says it this way: for those who are stealing, don't steal anymore. Instead, go to work, using your hands for something valuable so that you can take care of others' needs. Not only are you not supposed to steal if you're a believer in Christ, but now you're actually supposed to provide for other people. Stealing is taking away from them. No, I'm supposed to give for them. No lying, no coveting. These are reinforced, and yet the Sabbath keeping is not reinforced. Not only that, but the seventh day is changed to the first day. And now it's called the Lord's Day because it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. On Sunday, the day after the Jewish Sabbath, Jesus rises from the dead. Now, God could have set this up ahead of time for Jesus to come out of the tomb on the Sabbath, but no. No, Jesus talked about his coming death as if it had been planned forever by the Father. And the plan was always for him to come on the first day of the week, and then his followers met on the first day of the week. We find in Acts 20, the first day of the week, we came together to break bread, to take of the Lord's Supper. Now, right before this, we find that the Apostle Paul had been in this region for 7 days. And on the first day of the week, they met together for worship. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. You think my sermons are long? His sermon was so long, somebody fell out of a window and died. It's an amazing passage. Go to Acts 20 and read about it. Eutychus, young man, got tired. It was really hot in the stuffy room. Next thing you know, he fell out of the upstairs window, fell to his death. It's okay. Apostle Paul went out, laid on him, brought him back to life, and then went back and preached some more on the first day of the week. Not the Sabbath. Not the seventh. So how do we put all this together? Does it mean that I should never even bother coming to church on Sunday? I don't have to. Why did you guys come this morning? Is it because you had to keep the Sabbath? Did you come out of guilt and shame and duty? Because if you did, I'm still glad you're here. But you're coming for the wrong reason. We come because we want to. Why do I worship the Lord with His people and gather together? You're still supposed to assemble. It's still a day of assembly. It's still a day that we set apart. The Lord's Day, we set it apart for Him. To focus on Him, to stop our daily activities and set aside a day. But I do it because I want to, not because I have to. I've used this before, but I'll use this illustration again. If I come home and I bring flowers to my wife on Valentine's Day, which I don't do, which I really should more often. But I come home and I got these flowers and she said, why'd you do that? Well, I have to. It's Valentine's Day. Don't you know? I'm doing my duty here. I'm being a good husband, right? Aren't you excited about that? Because you've got a husband that wants to be a good husband and do what he's supposed to do. And she would say, oh, baby, that gets me so glad. No. I don't even want to tell you what she would do. We would be in the most wicked fight, and it would be all my fault, and she'd be right. Because being a husband's not a duty. Being a dad is not a duty. I hear people act like it all the time. They talk about their obligations. What the heck is their problem? If that's your mindset, what the heck is your problem? We don't do those things because of having to do them. If we do, it takes every piece of joy out of it. I don't worship the Lord because I have to. Now, it's good to be reminded of how holy He is, so I'll remember what He deserves. It's good to go back to the Ten Commandments and be convicted at how short of being able to keep them I come. But the truth is, I don't go to follow the Ten Commandments because I have to. They've been written on my heart, and I don't know how not to. Do you understand? I don't know how to be a crappy husband. I just don't. Praise God for that. Because it's not like I had a good role model growing up. Can I tell you something? It's not because I came from this perfect family that my dad taught me how to love my wife through the way he loved my mom. It didn't work that way. I mean, my dad was married 3 times. My mom was married 4 times. I didn't see that growing up. But when I fell in love with Kristen, I realized, why wouldn't I want to make her the happiest woman that's out there? I mean, when she looks to me as if God couldn't have given her a better gift, why wouldn't I want to be that gift? I mean, truly, why wouldn't I want to live up to what she sees in me? And when Christ tells me that He loves me in spite of my sin, that while I was a sinner, He died for me. That no matter what my sin, He will not leave me nor forsake me. That He will not turn His back on me. Why wouldn't I do everything I could to worship Him? And why wouldn't I put a day of the week aside and say, I've got to be with God's people on that day? Because my Lord died for me. And there's nothing I could do to ever repay Him, but I want to try. I want to treat Him as so holy that it'll make my head spin and everybody else scratch theirs. That's why we keep the Lord's Day. We want to. Will you pray with me?